Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, what do you consider normal? Fitting in with friends or being called dangerous because you are a Christian? What's normal? Living a comfortable life or feeling like a bit of a doormat because you're always giving of your time, talents, and treasures? What's normal? Indulging in life's little pleasures or constantly curbing your desire to indulge? What's normal? Finding identity in what you achieve or finding your identity in who you are? And here's one to throw you after that compare and contrast. Well, what do you find normal? Fleeting happiness every so often or a foundation of happiness? Today we start a mini-series titled The Normal Christian Life. It consists of five sermons, each highlighting a mindset that Jesus calls normal, but the world, our sin, and the devil all call dangerous. Now, the five headings, the five topics are suffering, we're going to do tonight, then serving, then self-control, then character, and then joy is where we'll finish. Jesus says suffering is normal. Why, it's even good. But the world says avoid suffering at all cost. Jesus says the greatest serve the most. The world says the greatest have the most servants. Jesus says self-control is good for your soul. The world says you should express and experience every desire you have. Jesus says your character and your virtue is the heart of who you are. The world says you are the sum of all your achievements. Jesus says you will only find your deep joy in him. The world says Jesus is a killjoy. And so the question for us is, who are we going to trust? Who are we going to put our faith in, Jesus or the world? And as one of your pastors, I'm concerned. I'd even say that I'm anxious that we have come to accept a normal that is more in tune with what the world is telling us than what our King is telling us. The wealth, security, and comfort of modern Australia is unprecedented throughout world history. And as Christians, we enjoy unprecedented comfort and security. You can turn up to work, you can turn up to school and say, hey, I'm a Christian, without any fear of being beaten up, locked up, or hung up. And here is what happened because of decades of unprecedented wealth, comfort, and security. Christians now believe that normal includes all our modern-day possessions and popularity. We need to rehear Jesus define what normal is. Are you all wanting to walk out right now? Is this going to be a really doom and gloom sort of sermon series? Not at all. It deliberately ends with joy. And as a matter of fact, through all the series, we are going to hear about joy. Real joy. Serious joy. You see, our King went to the cross for the joy that was set before him. Get your head around that. And as we do, we realize that as his disciples, we learn to rejoice in our sufferings. Joy is not found in our possessions or in our popularity. Joy is found in obedience to our Savior, not in our possessions, not in our popularity. The Christian life, the normal Christian life, is a joy-filled life. And here's what we're going to see tonight. We're going to learn that suffering produces rejoicing when our joy is anchored in our better and forever home. And here's where we're going to see it from, Hebrews 10, 32 to 34. I'll end up stopping at 34. And what we'll learn from these verses is we'll see what serious suffering is from these first Christians. Then we'll look at our secure future, and then we'll finish with serious joy. So serious suffering, secure future, serious joy. Let's look at serious suffering. The original recipients of this letter we call Hebrews suffered serious persecution for their faith in Jesus Christ. What would you want to hear from your pastor if you were despised, beat up, sent into long-term poverty, all because you are a Christian? Hebrews 10, 32 to 34 is what we need to hear. I'm not so sure it's what we want to hear. Let's look at it. You got your Bible open? Hebrews 10. I'm going to read verses 32 to 34. But recall the former days when after you were enlightened. So recall when you first became a Christian. Recall when Jesus first broke into your life, the Holy Spirit enlightened the eyes of your heart so that you could now see the wonder of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember that? You remember that day? And do you remember? From the beginning, you endured a hard struggle with sufferings, sometimes being publicly exposed to reproach and affliction, and sometimes being partners with those so treated. Some of you were ridiculed for your faith. And as we're going to see, had everything taken away from you. That's what happened to some of you. And then some of you came alongside them. You were willing to suffer with them. You didn't have to put up your hand and say, hey, I'm with them, but you did. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. I think it's rather easy for us to just sort of pass over hard struggle with sufferings in verse 32. So let me try and paint a bit of a modern day picture for us here tonight. Imagine turning up to your part-time job, which you totally need to get you through university. I mean, even with a part-time job, you're barely struggling to feed yourself anything more than three-minute noodles, all right? And you get fired, all because you're a Christian. No redundancy, no sort of payout, you're just out of here. And then you turn up to uni, you think, well, is there anything I've got left for a career is my uni course? And you get kicked out of the university simply because you are a Christian. What are you going to do? Everything's just been turned on its head. You're wondering, what is my future going to hold? Now, I reckon there is a bit of a problem with my illustration. With Morning Church, I did the whole lose your job, lose your superannuation, lose your mortgage, lose everything. I reckon there's a bit of a problem for us with the illustration. Because you're all thinking, Steve, that'll never happen. We're a modern democracy. There are rules against such things. That just, it wouldn't be allowed to happen. Now, I get that. But let me tell you what's flawed if that's immediately where we run to. If that's what we immediately think, that could never happen, we're a democracy. Our hope, our security, our joy is built on government legislation. It's built on what we currently have and what we currently know with our current possessions and our current popularity. We love to sing My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. But because Christians in Australia have enjoyed decades of government security, comfortable lifestyles, and public popularity, our hope, our security, our joy have been more shaped by the great Aussie dream than by our King Jesus telling us, take up your cross and follow me. And I know some of you at the moment are frightened about the immediate future. I mean, there's lots of talk out there in the media, especially social media, about freedoms being taken away, about government overreach and where are we headed, even in a Western country like Australia. I'm concerned. I'm a little concerned about the New South Wales Government Conversion Practice Ban Act and the way that the Anti-Discrimination Board of New South Wales is interpreting the act. Today, in New South Wales, this isn't one of the other states, today in New South Wales, any of us could potentially be brought up on criminal charges simply for praying with someone who asked us to pray the very prayer that we just prayed with them. Like, that's where we're at the moment. Now, I want you to breathe, because my goal isn't to alarm us. My goal is simply to remind us. As I said a moment ago, in Australia, Christians have experienced unprecedented security and comfort over the last 50 years. But the normal Christian life is hard struggles with suffering. And you can definitely breathe. I'm not a future teller. I'm not predicting that the Aussie Christian life is actually going to get harder in the next 5 years. I don't know. But what I do know, and what I want you to know, is that our hope and our security and our joy is not in our earthly possessions, not in our earthly popularity. Look at verse 34 again. For you had compassion on those in prison. I think it's easy for us to misread that. Thank God for those of us who join the Kairos Ministries and go into the Kempsey Correctional Facility. That's a great thing to do. That's not what this verse is talking about, though. This verse is talking about your brother or sister went to prison because they're a Christian, and you went to bring them food, identifying yourself as a Christian. Do you see the picture? You may not walk out of that prison again if you go to do what verse 34 is saying. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Joyfully accepted the plundering of your property. Joyfully. Do you remember that scenario I just asked you to imagine? If you're like me, it's hard to imagine that future happening to us and experiencing it joyfully. Now, I think that's okay. I think that's okay today to not be too sure how we would ever handle a government taking everything away from us just because we're a Christian. Because Jesus promises us faith for today. So I'm assuming we'll have the faith that we need for that day when it comes, so it's hard to imagine it today. But here's what today is about. Today is about preparing us for potential future suffering. We are responsible today. And here's where we move to our second heading, secure future. In order to prepare for tomorrow's suffering, we must anchor today, our joy today, in our secure future. Not today's possessions, not today's popularity. Read verse 34 again with me. For you had compassion on those in prison, and you joyfully accepted the plundering of your property, since you knew that you yourselves had a better possession and an abiding one. On October 16, 1555, on the north side of Oxford, Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley were tied to the same stake and burnt alive. Ridley was the first to strengthen his friend. "Be of good heart, brother, for God will either assuage the fury of the flame," God's either going to put the fire out, "or else strengthen us to abide it." But the flames weren't put out. The fire did build up around this pair. And so then Latimer had his turn to encourage Ridley. "Be of good comfort, Master Ridley. Be of good comfort and play the man. We shall this day light such a candle by God's grace in England as I trust shall never be put out." It's tempting to think that such courage is only given to martyrs and masochists. But let's remember who Hebrews chapter 10 was written to. Ordinary Christians. Normal Christians like you and me. Normal Christians know that we have an abiding possession and a better possession. Psalm 16 verse 11 is one of my favorite verses. If I was to get inked up, it would have Psalm 16 verse 11. "You make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore." Full joy and forever pleasure. Doesn't that sound like Hebrews 10:34? That's our future. Full joy and forever pleasure. Our hope, our security, our joy, it's not grounded in earthly possessions and earthly popularity. We can be stripped naked and have our reputation tarnished for the rest of our lives and still be of good comfort, because we know our better and abiding possession, our full joy, our forever pleasure. The true Christian's future is secured by none other than Jesus Christ. Remember this, Jesus has secured our future. Jesus left the riches, the glory of heaven to come in into our sin and suffering, to take on our sin and suffering so that he could die to be punished for it, so that we could receive the riches of heaven. Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus has conquered the grave. Sin and death is defeated. The Christian's future is secured by none other than Jesus Christ. Can you see? Do you know that it does not matter how little your faith is, if your faith is in Jesus Christ? Can you see? Do you know that it does not matter how big your failures are if your faith is in Jesus Christ? Jesus secured our full joy and forever pleasure. You see, Jesus is our strength. Jesus is our security. Jesus is our hero. Jesus did it all. It doesn't matter how little your faith is when your faith is in Jesus Christ. Our hope, our security, our joy is not in earthly possessions nor earthly popularity. We're the people. We're the people who have tasted and seen that God is good. And we now long for our better and forever possession. And we know that has been secured by Jesus Christ. Now, did those flames put Latimer and Ridley through an excruciating death? Did those first Christians that had everything taken away from them and just faced a life of homelessness and poverty go through terrible things? Absolutely. That's why I've called our last heading Serious Joy. Does that sound a bit weird? What's the first HSC exam, English? Is that an oxymoron? True lies, is that what I'm doing? Back to the future, serious joy. Serious joy is not an oxymoron. You see, Christian joy is a serious joy. Serious joy sits at the heart of the joy that drove Jesus to the cross. If you're still in Hebrews chapter 10, just go over to Hebrews chapter 12. I'll read from verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Jesus was not high-fiving and skipping on his way to the cross. Remember that Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane? His anxiety was the stuff of nightmares. Do you remember his final day? The flogging? The crown of thorns? The shame of publicly being stripped naked? The torture of crucifixion? Jesus was not skipping and high-fiving on the way to the cross. And yet Hebrews 12 verse 2 tells us, for the joy set before him, Jesus endured the cross. Brothers and sisters, Christian joy is serious, serious joy. It's serious joy that sits behind 2 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 10. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. My last sermon I did 2 weeks ago here. I think 2 Corinthians 6 verse 10 needs to be one of our verses that we hold on to. When we build our building, let's put this as one of our verses we put up. Christians know what it is to be always full of sorrow, yet always rejoicing. It's serious joy that sits behind Romans chapter 5 verses 3 following. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. Serious, serious joy. And Jesus tells us in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 11, blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You will never know the freedom of serious joy if your gospel is, God owes me. Because I said my prayers, I went to church, I gave my money, and I try to be a good person. for those of us who have been Christian for a while, think about the number of churchgoers you know that have dropped off when something went wrong. A problem in their relationship. A lost job. A conflict at church, a disappointment at church. Not able to make a stand on what Jesus says when the world is demanding something different. I love being your pastor for almost 20 years now. In December, 20 years ago, I brought my family here to plant The Point. And this has been one of the greatest joys of my life. So many blessings we have received being part of this family. The hardest thing, 20 years, I now know too many people that have walked away from Jesus because of the love affair with earthly possessions, earthly popularity is more important. They chose temporary happiness over serious joy. Do you know the quest for temporary happiness will always avoid suffering? Our modern culture is built on the lie that suffering must be avoided at all costs. In the last 50 years, we have shifted from ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. We were shifted from that sort of mentality to what welfare does my government owe me? What rights does my employer owe me? What inheritance does my parents owe me? We've shifted from responsibility to rights. And the way that seeps into the church is this. God owes me because I've done my bit. The quest for temporary happiness will always avoid suffering. You will never know the freedom of serious joy if your gospel is God owes me because I say my prayers, because I go to church, I read my Bible, I give my money. That's the gospel of possessions and popularity. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is that Jesus laid his life down for us. Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. And so what was that joy that was before Jesus? It was you. It was me. It was us being released from the slavery of sin. We can now enjoy a better possession, an abiding possession. Brother, sister, as long as we cling to, as long as we have this love affair with earthly possessions and earthly popularity, we just won't know the serious joy of our better possession, of our forever possession. What's crystal clear from Hebrews 10:34 is that Jesus is offering the freedom that you and I, we long for this freedom. The freedom from our love affair with earthly possessions, earthly popularity. And the freedom comes when we shift our focus from earthly things to heavenly things, to where our joy, our full joy, and our forever pleasure is. You know, we can accept the plundering of our earthly property with joy because Jesus has secured our better and forever home. There's two things that we all long for. God's put it into us. We all long for the best joy and the longest lasting joy. Think about the things that get you out of bed in the morning, even if they're not godly things. It's the best joy and the longest lasting joy. And so our problem is not that we desire happiness and joy too much. It's that we're satisfied with too little. Jesus has come and he's secured our better and forever possession. Jesus has come to show us what Psalm 16:11 is saying, full joy and pleasure forevermore. In God's presence, there's fullness of joy. At God's right hand are pleasures forever. Your faith in Jesus Christ has already secured that joy, that pleasure. So, today, tomorrow, the next day, do whatever you can to fight, to taste and see how good God is. No matter how hard, no matter how big, no matter how costly, no matter how scary the suffering is, you know. You seriously know. If you're in Jesus Christ, your home is secured, it is better, and it's forever. Yeah? I'm going to pray, we're going to sing, and we'll see if there's any questions. Chris, is there any questions? Where's Chris? No question. We're just going to sing and end. All right. Father God, you are glorious beyond what we could ever imagine. And so keep our hearts longing to see you more, to know you more, to love you more. Father, forgive us for when we get distracted. Forgive us for when we sin. Forgive us when we just chase lesser pleasures and forget you and leave you behind. Oh, Holy Spirit, come stir each and every one of us up to hunger and thirst more and more for the glory for which we were made. Father, I also pray for anyone here tonight who's come in beaten up, whose suffering is real and raw. Father, would you help them to put up their hand to talk to someone? Would we as a church family gather around them and offer the balm, the medicine of your gospel, your good news and Christian love and family? But Father, for all of us, oh yeah, Father, would we live for, would we strive for, would we run after our better and forever home with you? In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.